Let's talk about my church family and talk about the relationships that we are to have with each other. And the fact that as a church family, we have very close relationships with people that come from all sorts of different backgrounds and different parts of life. And yet in Christ, we all become one. And when we become one, there's no big Christian and little Christian. There's no superior Christian and inferior Christian. We all stand on level ground before the cross of Christ. We're all saved by the same blood of Christ. We are all added unto the same body of Christ when we're baptized. So when we're a part of this family, how are we supposed to treat each other? Go to Matthew chapter 25. Go to Matthew chapter 25, and I want us to look at the last dozen or so verses of Matthew chapter 25 as we introduce this idea of when I am in the church family. When I'm in the church family, I need to treat my brothers and sisters in Christ the way I would treat Jesus. How would you treat Jesus if he was in your family? If Jesus was in your family, and you can cross out that word if, but we'll use it. If Jesus was in your family, would you treat him better than you treat your brothers or sisters right now? If Jesus was in your family, would you treat him better than you treated your mom or dad growing up? If Jesus was in your family, would you treat him better than, and you name the person in your family. I want you to think about Jesus as a part of our family. Look at Matthew chapter 25. This chapter talks about Jesus' second coming. He talks about in verse 31 that when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, that He'll sit on the throne of His glory and all nations are going to be gathered before Him, and He's going to separate them one from another as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And then here in verse 34, He says, I'm going to say to those, the Son of Man, Jesus is going to say to those on His right hand, come. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for who? For you from the foundation of the world. What is the last word you have in verse 36? Last word in verse 36. Me. All right. I want you to remember that word, because I want us to read these next two verses, 35 and 36. And when I say I want us to read those verses, I'm not going to say the word me when we come to it. You're going to say it. Okay? Jesus says in verse 34, to those on His right hand, to the sheep, to Christians, to those in the family of God, He says, come, you blessed of my Father. Is that our Father too? Yes. Come, you blessed of my Father. What's the word after Father? Inherit. What right do you have to inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world? You're a child of God, adopted into His family. You get the inheritance. And we saw a couple weeks ago in Romans 8, we are fellow heirs, joint heirs with Christ because He is our elder brother. Now remember what word I want you to read. Jesus says, here's why you get to enter into heaven. Here's why you get to inherit the kingdom of God. For I was hungry, and you gave me. Y'all remember what word? It was a real tough word, right? For I was hungry, and you gave me food. And I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. What's the focus of those two verses? Yeah, me. Jesus. Jesus says, you come and you get to inherit the kingdom prepared for you. What's the first word in verse 35? Why do you get to inherit the kingdom of God? What's the first word in verse 35? For. Here's the reason. Because when I was all of these things, you served me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, verse 37, Lord, when did we see you hungry? Lord, I don't remember that. If you saw Jesus hungry, would you feed him? When did you see me? When did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? Lord, when did we see you a stranger? If you saw Jesus as a stranger, would you take him in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick? If Jesus was sick, would you take him a chicken pot pie? Jesus was sick, would you take care of him? In prison and come to you. And the king will answer. Remember the word I want you to say. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these. What's the word? I know it's different, a little bit different than the word I wanted you to read before. But Jesus says, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these. Why doesn't he say your? Why doesn't Jesus say, here's the reason you get to go to heaven? Why doesn't Jesus say, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, your brethren? Why doesn't he say it that way? When we look in our family, when I look in my church family, are you my brethren? Are you my brothers and sisters in Christ? So why didn't Jesus say, your brethren, as much as you served and did things unto your brethren? He could have said that and it would have been just as true. But he didn't say your. Jesus said, as much as you did it unto my brethren, you did it unto me. How are we going to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ? How are we going to treat each other in our family? What does Jesus say? If we want to go to heaven. Anybody want to go to heaven? Two or three of you? Anybody want to go to heaven? Jesus says, come on. Come on. Inherit the kingdom. And here's why you get to inherit it. For when you did it unto the least of my brethren, you were doing it to me. How do we need to treat each other? We need to treat each other the way that we would treat Jesus. Then, oh boy, that was the good part. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from you cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why are people going to be sent to hell? What's the first word you have in verse 42? Same word. You know, I thought people went to hell for doing really bad stuff. No, I thought, you know, when you read the list of sins over in 1 Corinthians 6 and Galatians 5 and Revelation 21, and you read these lists of, oh, those are the really bad things that people do, and they go to hell. Jesus says, depart from, get away from me. You are cursed. You are cursed people. You go into everlasting fire, that place that's prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, Jesus, why are those people on your left going to go there? For I was hungry and you gave no food. I was thirsty and you gave nothing, no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take. Am I going too fast for y'all? If I pause, just say me, all right? That's the idea. I was a stranger and you did not take. Naked and you did not clothe. Sick and in prison and you did not visit. What's this all about? It's about Jesus. And Jesus says, here are individuals who are going to go to hell. Why? Because they committed these horrendous sins. Jesus says, here are some people who are going to go to hell because they did not do it unto me. Then they will answer. They're going to say, Lord, when did this happen? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister? Lord, do you think we're dumb? Lord, if we saw you in those conditions, don't you know we would have done something about it? And then he will answer them saying, assuredly, truly, I'm going to tell you straight up right now, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it unto one of the least of these. He's talking about his brethren again. When you did not do it unto them, Jesus says, you did not do it unto me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Does the way I treat my brothers and sisters, is it a big deal? Does it really matter? You know, if the way I get along with those in my church family, is it going to have any kind of impact? I mean, I'm a good person, you know, and I'm a mostly nice person. And I do a lot of good things and a lot of good deeds. And you know, what if I teach and baptize, you know, 100 people a week? You know, and Lord, look at all these people that are going to heaven because of me. Is that going to override what Jesus says in Matthew 25? Heaven and hell hang in the balance, and one of the things that determines my eternal destiny is how I treat you. Is that heavy? Does that make us stop and say, wow, maybe I need to think. Maybe I need to think about the way I treat my fellow brethren. And the way I treat them is the way that I need to treat Jesus. There's a two-word phrase that I want us to see in some verses real quick about how we are to interact in the family of God. And that two-word phrase is just this little prepositional phrase, one another. Do you know any verses in the New Testament? Have you ever read any verses in the New Testament? Go to John 13. Have you ever read any verses in the New Testament with that little phrase, that little pronoun, one another? Look in John chapter 13. We're going to have to do this quick, but I want us to see these together. And I'm going to pick on some of you to read. And if I pick on you and you don't want to read, just tell me. You don't have to read if you don't want to. But go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, look at verse 34. Got to decide which way I'm going to go. I'm going to go pick on somebody over here. All right, John chapter 13, verse 34. And if you don't look at me, I won't pick on you. Just kidding, because nobody's going to look at me. But Bob will read, I know he will. All right, John chapter 13, verse 34.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that also you love one another.
What is the one another aspect in John chapter 13, verse 34? What are we supposed to do? Love one another. I want us to talk about two things tonight. I want us to talk about attitudes and actions. And I'm calling these Christ word. It's not a word, I made it up. We're talking about Christ word attitudes and Christ word actions. I am to have what kind of attitude am I supposed to have toward my brethren? It is the same kind of attitude that I would have toward Christ. As I have loved you, Jesus says, you love one another. What does that mean? What does that mean? I know what it says. What does it mean? Wow. Is it that deep? What is love? I think that's a song. Mickey. Okay. It means if I have filthy feet, you're going to wash them. What does this mean? Tracy? You before me. Is that an attitude that we need to have? You know, there are attitudes, Christ word attitudes, that lead to actions. But before we even get to the actions, what are those attitudes? It's an attitude that says, it's you before me. Judy, you had your hand up. Yeah. This is the word agape. This is a serving, selfless attitude. A serving, selfless love. If we had time, we'd go over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, as well as chapter 4. It's over in chapter 4 as well in verse 8, where Peter uses this little adverb to describe how much we're to love one another. He says, love one another fervently. What does that word mean? What do you do fervently? Some of you eat fervently. What does that mean? What does that mean? Some of you watch football and you cheer fervently. What does that mean? You're not asleep, okay? Right? Intensely. Who said that? Intensely. What does it mean? Love one another fervently. This isn't, well, you know, I could love you. That's all right. Yeah, I might love you. It's not passive. It's not leaning back in your lazy boy. God says you love one another and you do it fervently. That gives it a whole new picture. It's not just that I tolerate you. Yeah, I'll tolerate you and I'll love you at the same time. Who am I supposed to love fervently? My good-looking brethren? My pleasant brethren? The ones who smile at me and are kind to me? Are those the ones I'm to love fervently? Love one another fervently. Do you do that? Here's an attitude that I need to have. And the attitude that I need to have for one another is where I put somebody else, even before I put myself. Go to 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Go to 1 Peter 3 and then get your finger in Romans 12. Those of you who are like speedy and you can do it real quick, go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 and then get to Romans chapter 12. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Willie's going to read it in English, okay?
I got you. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous.
That's a heavy verse. What is the one another in that verse? What are we supposed to do to one another?
Love one another.
What's the one another in that verse? What is it right before the words one another? What is the one another thing we're supposed to do in this verse? Have compassion. Y'all there in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8? Yeah. We're to have compassion for one another. What does that mean? What does it mean to have compassion for one another? That's not the word passion. You see that word, and that's what you focus on. Compassion. How are we to have compassion for one another? Say again.
If they hurt, we hurt.
If they hurt, we hurt. This Greek word for compassion here is the word we get the word sympathy from. They hurt, we hurt. What is Romans chapter 12? Is it verse 15? This says, when they rejoice, what do? We rejoice with those who rejoice. That's easy to do. What happens when they're weeping? We have compassion. We are sympathetic. How do we do that? We put that in the attitude column. Give me a corresponding action that might go with that. How do I have compassion for you? Trudy. Yeah, you got to try to put yourself in their shoes. What do I do when I do that? How do I take that attitude and do something with it? How do I have compassion? Okay. You find out what somebody's needs are. How do you find out what somebody's needs are? You like hang out at their front door and just wait for something to happen? How do you find out what somebody's needs are? Fellowship would be good, wouldn't it? That's going to be one of our actions. Go to Romans chapter 12. We just mentioned verse 15. Look down in verse 16. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Somebody read it. And here's the deal. I'm going to ask you at the end of the verse, what's the one another thing we're supposed to do here? So pay attention. Romans 12, verse 16, what does it say? What's the one another thing that we're supposed to do here? We're to be of the same mind. That's not so easy, is it? I mean, whose mind do we get to be like? Who choose? You choose. Look at the 100 and whatever people there's. Which mind do you want to be like in here?
Me.
Which mind do we all? We're going to be all the same mind. Now, whose? Is it going to be, do we get to like change every week? You know, this week we're all going to be like Grant Fuller's mind. Oh, I hope it's a short week. And then next week, we're all, how do we all be of the same mind? Go to chapter 15, verse 5, same deal. Romans chapter 15, verse 5, same idea. We're to be like-minded toward one another. How do you do that? Do our minds work the same way? Does your mind work the same way my mind works? No. Thankfully, no. Right? Our minds do not work the same. So how? Okay, God, you just told us to do something that is flat out impossible. There's no way we can be of the same mind. Can we? Babo? Uh-huh. Go back up one more verse. Since you're doing that which we were supposed to do and look at the context, what does verse 4 say? So verse 4, you have an emphasis on the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures. Then you mention verse 5 where it talks about the patience and the comfort of who? God. All right, so now we have the Scriptures and God, and then he says you be of the same mind. Where's that mind supposed to come from? What's Philippians 2 and verse 5 say? Let this mind be in you, which was also in your big elder brother, Christ Jesus. That's where it comes from. Now go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Dr. Price. No. Dr. Price's mom. Oh, okay. All right. Hebrews 10, verse 24.
And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds.
And let us do what with each other? We need to consider. We need to consider one another. How do you do that? You build relationships. What is the word consider? If I'm supposed to consider you, what does that mean? How do I consider you? How do I do that? How am I supposed to consider you? Y'all going to help me? Phil. Okay. Have you all ever considered buying a new house? Was there anything spur of the moment about it? Did you just walk over one day and just hand your neighbor a check and say, here you go, here's money, I'm going to take your house. Was there any consideration that when you think about considering something? No, it's this one that's dead. A couple double A's would be helpful. When you think about considering somebody, it's got to take some time. It's got to take some interaction with that person. What does all of that mean? I've got to have compassion. I've got to look out for somebody other than myself. I got to look out for you. I got to look out for your interests. And not be selfish about my own. Go over to Romans chapter 12 one more time. Romans 12 and verse 10. Kristen wants to read. You don't? Does your sister want to read? Y'all want to read together? Like in unison? Yeah, okay.
I don't know if that will work.
Romans 12 and verse 10. Be what? Just read the first part until you get to the one another.
Be kindly affectionate to one another.
That's it. Okay, so what are we supposed to do?
Be kindly affectionate.
Be kind. Now, does it say just be kind? Go over to Ephesians 4:32. What does Ephesians 4:32 say? Ephesians 4:32 says we're to be kind to one another. This says be kindly affectionate to one another. And Romans 12 verse 10 says giving. What does Romans 12 verse 10 say? Giving. Y'all see this P word? Preference to one another. What does that mean? Be kindly affectionate to one another, giving preference to one. What does that mean? What do you prefer? Do you prefer vanilla or chocolate? Which one? On your list, which comes first? What do you prefer, vanilla or chocolate? What do you prefer? You know what that means. What do you prefer, NFL or college? What do you prefer? Now, prefer means that if somebody gave, if you've got a preference between vanilla or chocolate and somebody gave you the other one. Rocky Road. All right, now we're talking business. All right. If your preference is Rocky Road and somebody puts chocolate, just plain old chocolate ice cream down in front of you, you going to turn up your nose to that? That's not my favorite, but I've been with Novell. He's still going to take the he's still going to take that chocolate ice cream, but Rocky Road is the preference. When it's between you and me, who am I supposed to give preference to? Not me. Is that hard? Is that natural? Have you ever met a baby born into this world who gave preference to the parents? Apparently not. Who gave preference to anybody else in the house? Who said, "That's okay. I will be quiet and let all of you sleep tonight, and I will give preference to you." You ever met a baby? Is this natural? That's something you got to learn. Go back over to 1 Peter one more time. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. No, we did 1 Peter 3. It's got to be 1 Peter 5. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. What is the one another in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5? "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you." How many does that include? Okay, you're in this verse. You might look at this verse and you might say, "Well, I'm not a younger person." And you might look at the first part of this verse and say, "Well, I'm not an older person." But then he gets to this word and he says, "Now, yes, all of you." Who does that include? The younger and the older and everybody in between. "Yes, all of you be" what? "Submissive to one another." Oh, that's not good either. So now I'm supposed to give preference to one another, and then I'm supposed to be submissive. Well, that doesn't... If we shared these two verses with somebody right before they walked into the baptistry, if we said, "When you come up out of the baptistry, you are to give preference to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you are to be submissive to your brothers and sisters in Christ," how many of you think would go down into the water? Is this hard? If it's hard, does that mean it's optional? Does it mean, "Well, if I'm not good at it, you know, I'll go and do the things I'm good at, and then it won't matter if I'm not good at these things"? Or are these things that God says He expects us to be clothed with humility? The verse that Willie read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, the last word in the New King James, says to be courteous. That takes effort. That takes a lot of practice on my part. Does that mean I might have to bite my tongue on occasion? Might be I have to bite my tongue and just not say what I'm thinking I want to say. Does that mean I might have to count to 10 every once in a while? And then again. And then again. This takes practice. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. And we're going to finish with the book. We're going to finish with Ephesians 4. Here's what Ephesians 4 says. That is, "I am giving preference as I am being clothed with humility." Look in Ephesians 4, verse 2 says that we are to bear with one another. Now, that's not bearing burdens, that's later. This is bearing with one another. This is being patient. This is being long-suffering. We talked about it on Sunday. When my brethren are not perfect, when my brethren are imperfect and annoying, what does this verse in Ephesians 4 and verse 2 say I'm supposed to do? I am supposed to be bearing with one another. That take work? bearing with one another in love. Should I take effort? Being a Christian, the way I treat my brethren, Jesus says, is the way that I treat him. And Jesus says, the way I treat my brethren is the way I treat him, and that will determine whether I go to heaven or whether I go to hell. There are some attitudes, some Christward attitudes that I need to have. On Sunday, we're going to talk about those Christward actions. If I build these attitudes into my heart, what is it going to lead me to do? See you Sunday morning.